very unique is Yom Kippur. There are many things that we do in Yom Kippur where we attempt to be medamet to malachim, to be angels. There are a whole bunch of things that we do. For example, we fast. Okay, you don't eat. And everyone knows that there's an old Hasidic shavart. Everyone probably says in the name of their Rebbe. There are 2 days of year that we fast the entire day. You know, the real deal. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. What's the difference? On Tisha B'Av, how could you fail? How could you eat? How could you eat? You're in so much pain over Chorban, over the tzaros of Klal Yisrael, personal tzaros, tzaros of the Klal, Chorban of Klal Yisrael. How could you eat? On Yom Kippur, the attitude is, who needs to eat? I don't need to eat. I'm a malach. It's an entirely different frame of mind. I don't need to eat. Who needs to eat? Mamish, you're flying high. You're a malach elokim tzavakas. I made a joke. It's not a good joke, but someone invited me to eat by them lunch on, I don't know, this Shabbos, I declined, whatever the reason, I declined, I said, I can't make it. I said, I'll take a rain check, I'll come for lunch on Yom Kippur. That's what I said to, I'll come, Yom Kippur. I said to a woman, oh, you come for, oh, yeah, yes. And then she said, oh, but then she said to me, maybe Mashiach will be here by then. So I said, so if Mashiach will come by Yom Kippur, does anything change? I understand when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Mashiach comes before Tisha B'Av. So it says in the pasuk that the tzoyim harvi, the tzoyim hachamishi, the tzoyim hashvi, the tzoyim hasiri will be l'sasayinu l'simcha. I understand if Mashiach comes before Tisha B'Av, so on Tisha B'Av we're going to eat. But if Mashiach comes before Yom Kippur, Mashiach will come. What's the difference? L'cha'oira, we will still be fasting. We will be fasting on Yom Kippur when Mashiach comes. No different. There's no difference between now and when Mashiach comes. I'm assuming that's correct. I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. I'm assuming it's correct. Why not? And the difference is this, what exactly, why exactly do we fast on Yom Kippur? Well, obviously the pasuk says, inui. Okay, you have to be very careful. You say you have to always start with the ikar. Before you get to the drush, you have to always mark them the ikar. The pasuk says, "V'inisem es nafshay sechem." The mitzvahs hayoyim of Yom Kippurim is to afflict yourself. This concept is never been more foreign to us than in this generation. Such a principle where you should do something to yourself to cause yourself discomfort. This a concept. When I was a little kid, I think this people still understood this. Still live with this principle, is that you want to do teshuvah, you fast, deny yourself the good things of this world. Don't wear nice clothing. Don't have a nice car. Don't do this. Don't do that. You should bring upon yourself suffering, right? This is a real principle of Judaism as an atonement. Now, in this generation, you say these words, they look at you like you're from Mars. What? You're going to bring upon yourself discomfort? You should wear a pair of shoes that are not comfortable. So when you walk in the street, you should feel discomfort during the week, during the year. And that way, it will condition you to be a Baal Musa. You'll think about Hashem. You'll think about your purpose in this world. You shouldn't always be so comfortable. In the summertime, you should have a room in your house, no air conditioning. So you should sweat, and you should feel discomfort, and it will condition your mind to be a servant of Hashem. Today, if you say these words to someone, they look at you like you're mamish, you're nuts. You belong in a mental institution. Today, the attitude is, don't try to bring suffering. Enjoy yourself and channel the pleasure to avoid this Hashem. We live today in different times. We live today in times where we're all extremely delicate creatures. Everything has to be just right. The food has to be delicious. The conditions of life have to be perfect. And we have to strive for this. And we take all this and we feel good and we can daven and we can learn. V'chul, v'chul. This is the way it is today. That's just how it is. Whether you like it or not, this is the way we live today. But the Torah says that on Yom Kippur, I don't want you to have a good life. I want you to suffer. Beferish Apostle. Ve'inisen es nafshei seichem. I want you to suffer. I want you not to eat, not to drink. The Rabbanan added, don't wear leather shoes. Don't anoint your flesh with oil. The five inuyim, suffer. And when you suffer, it makes a roshah. It has an effect on you. It changes your frame of mind. You begin to acknowledge, what are you? How long are you going to be in this world for? Soif davar akol nishma. Es lekim yirav yes mitzvah sof shmar ki zeh kol adam. And we do this once a year. Baruch Hashem, we still do this technique once a year, whether you like it or not. It's an amazing thing. Okay? And that's why, you know, there are Gedolei Yisrael who hold, you should not buy. I mean, this is something which no one even wants to hear anymore, and most people don't practice it, including myself, is when you buy yourself sneakers, don't get the most comfortable sneakers. Because today, more or less, the sneakers you wear in Yom Kippur are nicer, more comfortable than what you wear with your leather shoes. You wear your leather shoes in order that you should look good, you look stylish, you're willing to sacrifice on the comfort of your feet. So sneakers, you're not going to go wear a big, klutzy pair of sneakers with funny colors, because it's not that coveted. So you're willing to sacrifice your comfort for style. But Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, there's no, you don't have to, just don't wear leather. Everything goes. What?
All the fancy chairs people use for Tisha B'Av.
They use fancy chairs, all these mishayah. So there are many Gedolei Yisrael that are very against it. And they talk held that if your sneakers, and this is not, most people don't do this anymore, but they held that if your sneakers are more comfortable than your leather shoes, you should not be wearing those sneakers. You should follow not just the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. Well, Kaki, because he held crack might be the leather. I think that's a halachic element. Cracks is a whole show that cracks. No, so it's wood. I don't remember. Don't worry. Everyone's wearing cracks. Okay. Let's not.
I just mentioned. Right. New Balance sneakers. I have a pair. It's synthetic leather. It's the same sneakers I always wear, but it's synthetic leather.
Synthetic leather.
And they say it's the most Schwartz and Borough one that's the bestseller.
100%. I told you, we all do this. But you look at the Svar, there are many Gedolei Yisrael who held that if the Torah says, the inisen es nafshei seichem, you shall suffer, and the Rabbanan added to the eating, in the Torah you only are not allowed to eat and drink, and the Rabbanan came along and they added to the list, don't wear leather shoes, and don't smear your body with oils and other things, so you're going against the spirit of the law. If you buy the New Balance sneakers of synthetic leather instead of real leather, because it's even more comfortable than wearing leather shoes. And that is not the purpose of the mitzvah. Now, I know, halacha l'maisa, we follow the letter of the law. That's enough. If leather is aser, leather is aser. Everything else is mutter. That's what we all do today. That's the way we live today in America and Flatbush. But you know, years ago, it wasn't like that. Years ago, there were people that were very, very sensitive to these ideas, and they lived not just with the letter of the law, they lived with the spirit of the law. Today, people are a lot, I was in the pharmacy, and people mamish lining up around the outside a line to get, what is it called? It's called, for fasting, for, what?
Time
release.
It's called
suppositories. Suppositories. Yes? Suppositories. Suppositories.
Caffeine
suppository.
Then caffeine has nothing to do with it.
Okay, so, and people that do this, they're familiar with this type of stuff. They say Yom Kippur, it's a breeze. It's a breeze. You just go.
I know last year they had a station in one of the catering halls where they gave you infusions.
What infusions?
You got an IV.
How do they do that? On Yom Tov?
they had goyim, goyim nurses. What? Last year was
doesn't make any sense. So melacha deraisa.
You're
doing melachas to your body. Sick with it. A choila is a different story. I'm talking about healthy, young people. Healthy, young. We're not talking about a choila. A choila is a different story. I'm talking about a regular healthy person. Listen, everyone does it. I got no problem. I'm not coming to go tell you my deus. Everyone does it. But there are people who say, you know, let's see what's going on over here. The Torah says the words, V'inisen esnaf shoyseichen. You shall torture yourself. There is such a principle in Judaism to fast, to feel the effects of fasting. It changes your frame of mind. Okay, look, Tisha B'Av years ago. What did you do on Tisha B'Av years ago? There were no inspirational speakers. There was no videos and computers. It was such a boring day. I remember those years. It was so boring. It was boiling hot. The air conditioning didn't work. We didn't have any air conditioner. The lower side of my parents had one little air conditioner in the bedroom, which didn't even work. It was 100 degrees. Literally nothing to do. Climbing the walls, schwitzing the whole day. It was torture. And you know something? Those Tisha B'Avs, for some reason, I live with them. Because that's exactly what Tisha B'Av is all about. What is life all about anyway? What is life all about? You sit around, you have nothing to do, and you think. You think. What is life all about? What are we here for? What is this? Can't eat, you can't do, you can't learn, your mind is a total blank, and you just walk around in a daze the whole day. When is this going to be over already? Isn't that what Golus is all about? Isn't that really the real plan of Chazal, that Tisha B'Av should be a day the bittul of Torah, when you mevatel Torah, that's how you mekayim the Torah. That's really what Tisha B'Av is about. Today, there's no such thing. Today, a person's mind cannot be left void for a moment. So first, we have shiurim, live shiurim, which are very boring. Now, we have good shiurim, which are inspirational. Now we even have concerts on Tisha B'Av. Mamash, real concerts on Tisha B'Av. Because chas v'shalom, your mind should be blank for 1 second. All right. Technically, according to halacha, it's all A1. No one can say otherwise. All the rabbanim cannot say boo. It's mutter. It's fine. That's how it is. And the argument is, this is what the generation needs. I'm not a bar hawking to comment, 100%, gesund hey. But you have to at least appreciate, there is something to the spirit of the law. And the very least, the Torah actually says the words, the inisen es nafshay seicha. Yom Kippur me'ikar adin is a day when you're supposed to feel the pain. You're supposed to suffer. You're supposed to afflict yourself. Not because of the chumesa, not because of teshuvah. A person went and he had pleasure, did things that he's not supposed to do, and he gave Hashem agmas nefesh, whatever that means. And now, you know, you have to do teshuvah. Part of teshuvah is to feel the pain. This is what it says in the Torah. This is the spirit of the law. We're such delicate creatures, we don't even want to do that. But at least we should know what it says in the Torah. To some degree. Now that's the pshat. Okay, that is the pshat. You always have to learn pshat. Now, I want to elaborate a little bit more on drush. There's another element in not eating on Yom Kippur, besides the pshuta shomikra of torture, and that is to be doimeh to malachei hashoritz, to be similar to angels. Angels don't eat. They don't eat. We'll say they do the man lechem and hashemayim. It seems not. I don't know. We Klal Yisrael for 40 years we ate lechem abirim, the bread of angels. Where do you ever find that angels eat? It's a difficult concept. Man was the lechem abirim, the food. Are you allowed to eat man on Yom Kippur? The 40 years that Klal Yisrael was in the desert, did they eat man on Yom Kippur? Why? It's not called, it's lechem. If the whole purpose of eating is to be done to malachim. Oh, so you're saying there's the other, the inisim, you have to torture yourself. You have to torture yourself. So not even, but the eating the man was torture. Va ye anecha. Vayari Vech. Hashem, we said that Hashem tortured you. How? Vayachilcha es Haman Asher lo yadat. Had Kavanah the man should taste like spoiled food. Okay, I don't know. It says you can argue about this the whole day.
No, why would they be saying you shouldn't eat?
Yeah.
When they had man, so it means that the man you should.
It says in the pasuk eating the man was torture. Ferosh pasuk va ye'anicha affliction. Hashem brought upon you affliction. Vayar ivecha, and he starved you. How did Hashem afflict us and starve us? Through Vayachilcha es Haman Asher lo yodata. What do you mean? Haman was the most delicious food in the world.
It didn't come out. That's
okay, so there are many perushim as to what this means. On Yom Kippurim in the midrash for the 40 years, did they eat man on Yom Kippur? I don't know. It doesn't say anywhere. I don't know. But
it's only the idea that Chazal tells us also based on. They can't make up the world. And you know, they say that the idea is, you know, it could be that. You know, I
haven't worked
on it. You know, I have
myself. Okay, so there are many approaches.
You know, it's better than fasting.
Okay, whatever it is, but there is this sort of principle. And the reason why we do not do Yom Kippur is because we want to be doyne to the malach. Malachim do not need to eat. On Tisha B'Av, how could you eat? You're in such enormous agony. How could you eat? On Yom Kippurim, I don't need to eat. Who needs to eat today? I'm a malach. Okay, that's one example of being a malach. Another example, wearing a kittel, you mentioned, very good. Everything has many reasons. Ayin, panim, l'toros, simultaneously, you wear white, because white is tahara, it's purity. White, it's the big day mason, it's the tachrichim. But one of the reasons why we wear white kittel is because why we have psukim in Tanakh that indicate that malachim, we don't, whatever this means. This means malachim are white. Malachim, they're dressed in white, they are white. The tzura of a malach is a white being. We are doimel l'malachim, and thus we dress like malachim, we wear white. It's already three things. Another thing that we do to be doimel l'malachim, we recite out loud, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchusoy Li'olam Vo'et. Kriya Shema. Especially Kriya Shema Shel Shachar, Shel Arvi, Shel Shachar, we all recite together Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Liolam Vo'ed. The whole year we recited in an undertone, Chazal tells, because not to get the Malachim jealous. Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not say Baruch Shem. Yaakov Avinu did say Baruch Shem. What do we do? So we say it in an undertone. And that's this one explanation, but the other explanation is that this is something which is really shaykh to the Malachi Hashares, this expression, and therefore we don't want to compete with them, we don't want to trespass, we don't want to overstep our earthly bounds and argue with them. So therefore during the year we just quiet, don't wake up a beast. Okay, don't wake up what's the expression? Don't wake up.
There's
a sleeping lion. Don't wake up a sleeping lion. Don't shepherd with them. Don't shepherd with them. It's not our domain to say Baruch Shem, but on Yom Kippurim. Oh, we malachim. Malachi Hasharis. We can say Baruch Shem, Kvod Malchuso, Li'olam Vo'ed out loud. Another thing that we do to be malachim is we go to mikvah. The only day a year that you're really supposed to go to mikvah before Yom Tov is Yom Kippur. That's the only day. Even Rosh Hashanah is only really a minim, it's not a chiyuv. The only day a man, a male adult, should make an attempt, if he could. Today, obviously, there are a lot of considerations because of health reasons, and, you know, especially with COVID and whatever, it's a mess.
There are many with women also, though?
It used to be, not in our generation. Before the war, before the Europe, there's no question about it, the original minim was that even young girls, they went to mikvah. At the lekach, there was a minhag. We don't do this. Even the men, you make a bracha when you go to mikvah every year. We don't do this. No, don't do this today.
This is only a mikvah that's kosher l'nashim, not a mikvah.
A kosher mikvah, 100% kosher. What is kosher l'nashim? A mikvah is a mikvah. What's the difference? A mikvah is a mikvah. There's almost no such thing as today as a mikvah that's not kosher l'nashim. Either it's a kosher mikvah, or it's not a kosher mikvah. You don't want a kosher mikvah, so go take a shower. Go take a shower, go to a swimming pool. Talk about a mikvah, talk about a kosher mikvah. A mishnah that's kosher, kosher. All the men's mikvahs today are kosher l'nashim. If a woman would have to go use a, you have to go use a, an emergency, they would have to clean out all the men so women can use, like they did it by Schmidman Shul. Over COVID, it was supposed to take 2 months, and then once COVID happened, so they took their time. It took 8-9 months. They changed their plans 100 times over. The budget went from probably quadrupled, and they completely redid the mikvah. There's a shtibble around over here. They completely redid it from top to bottom, and it's unbelievable. It's magnificent, both in Gashmias and in Ruchnias. They brought back the guy who made the mikvah 25 years ago, and they added to the mikvah every chumrah you can have. The mikvah is filled up with 3 chumras, with hamshacha, with hashaka, and what's the other one? I forgot already. Zriya. All 3. That's not a common thing. Years ago, there was no such thing. No such thing years ago to have a man's mikvah. A man's mikvah. What?
Chabad too.
Which Chabad? We have a mikvah Chabad. No, we don't do that. That was a kunz. That was a kunz which doesn't work anyway. Scientifically, it doesn't work. It doesn't make a difference. They thought it was a gewaltiger idea, but scientifically, it doesn't. He's talking about a whole interesting concept. They have a bar. They have all the chumras. So this is a man's mikvah, and the truth is, this is no different than every man's mikvah. They have all, years ago, who had such chumras? They had hashaka, noshim, the mikvah is for noshim. They probably didn't have more than hashaka. Today, even the man's mikvah has hashaka, zri, and hamshacha. That's even a man's mikvah. So you can imagine the mikvah for noshim, they probably have all the chumras. Okay, but anyway, there used to be a minhag. The minhag is to go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. Now, why exactly do you go to the mikvah Erev Yom Kippur? So you can say there are really 3 reasons. Number one, it's a nice thing to do. Toisefas Kedusha. You want to add some more sanctity. Or you can say Tzvilas Ezra. Or you can say, well, the main reason really is because of Teshuvah. There's halacha, people don't know this halacha. People, it's very weird, we're not well enough that a Baal Teshuvah must go to mikvah. I'm not sure if he makes a bracha. Could be he maybe makes a bracha. You see, like people, you know, organizations that are involved in creating Baalei Teshuvah, Eish or Sameach, people who are mamish mechalalei Shabbos, Rachmanu Litzlan, and they become frum, they become religious. The halacha is they must go to mikvah. An FFB, frum from birth, has no obligation to go to mikvah. But a person, just like a ger, in order for a non-Jew, when a non-Jew becomes Jewish, he has Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, Bris Milah, and Mikvah. Right? Those are the 3 things for a male. Female, just Kabbalas HaMitzvahs and Mikvah. A person, Rachmanu Litzlan, that was Mechalel Shabbos, Bifar Hesia, and is Choyzer Bisheshuvah, has an obligation to go to Mikvah as part of his Teshuvah process. I think he even makes a bracha, if I'm not mistaken. And usually, a lot of many Baalei Teshuvah don't know this. Okay, in Flatbush over here, a lot of people became very in style here to go to mikvah. It's like no big deal. But out of town, or years ago, it wasn't in style to go to mikvah. The average person went to mikvah maybe Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that was it. Okay, out of town, it wasn't no one who went to mikvah. Litvak, they never went to mikvah. Who went to mikvah? Today it became a new thing. Today it became people going to mikvah. But about so Baal Teshuvah, that's like the last thing in the world he's going to do. He's going to go to a mikvah. He must go. It's not a joke. He has to go. Baal Teshuvah, person that was, you don't tell, obviously, you're not going to go tell him. You're not going to go tell Baal Teshuvah, did you go to mikvah? Mind your business. let him. He'll figure it out on his own. And if he doesn't figure it out, it's none of your business. Mind your own business. But a Baal Teshuvah has an obligation to go to mikvah. Erev Yom Kippur, we are all Baalei Teshuvah. Erev Yom Kippurim, every single person is together a Baal Teshuvah. And a Baal Teshuvah must go to mikvah. You know the story of one of the Rashidim, I think in Eish, I don't know, Weinberg? So he was learning in Ar Sameach and Shom Aleichem. I'm learning here, but I'm not, I'm learning in Ar Sameach, but I'm not a Baal Teshuvah. why not? Why not? Why are you not a Baal Teshuva? What's so terrible to be a Baal Teshuva? Just because you know you're a Pah. Don't be choshed me that I ever did an Aveir, I'm a Chal Shabbos. I'm learning here, it's a nice base medrash. I'm not a Baal Teshuva. Why not? Be a Baal Teshuva. What's so terrible?
Interestingly, Rav Meir Scheinberg is Zatzal.
He just died from COVID.
When he was saying a hesped on either his uncle or actually from the yeshiva in Barapak, which was from Talmidim of Chaim Hitler Scheinberg, he said, it's a little bit off topic, but I'm going to say this anyway to the Ola. I think Rabbi Renan, Rabbi Renan's hesped or something. He said, people said about the yeshiva that they come in with a Torah and they weave Baal Yeshuva.
They come in
with a Torah
and they leave Baal Yeshuva.
They
go down.
So they once mentioned that Chaim Hitler Scheinberg that they say about the yeshiva that people come in, they have a Torah, and when they go out, they're Baal Yeshuva. So he said, halavai.
Ooh. Very good. Excellent. Very, very good. Halavai. You're right, Halavai. Very good. Okay, so now there's another reason why you go to Mikvah. This is what it says here in the Sefer, in the Sha'arei series. He says, because you are a Tezma, to be doime to a Malach. Malachim are Tohar. It's an expression. Another reason, Ayin Panamah, there's an expression of connecting to Tahara like a Malach. The Avodah of Yom HaKippurim is to be a Malach. I don't need to eat. I wear white. I go to the mikvah not because I'm about teshuva, many reasons. I upon him, not because it's white, not because Tachrichim. I'm a Malach. I go to mikvah. I white because a malach is white. I go to mikvah because I'm not a person. I'm a malach. A malach is tar. You know, there's a very interesting element, there's a very interesting concept about going to mikvah. This idea that I just told you is a little bit difficult, but let me try to explain a little better with this idea. There's a big dilemma in, I don't even know, it goes all the way back to my civilizations. When you go to mikvah, when do you become tahar? You become tar when you're in the mikvah? Or do you become tar when you come out of the mikvah? So, in other words, when you're in the mikvah, you still tar, when you're mamish, you're in the mikvah, I'm immersed in the mikvah, and the food touches you, or the food, something is touching you, are you tar? Are you tar? You toil the shirt so that you're not really in the mikvah. You toil the shirt, it's okay, they find that's me part of the lumnus. Or is the, you become tar when you come out? The tahara comes when you emerge. L'mayim afkamina, a person cannot survive in a mikvah. One of the drush about a mikvah is when you go into a mikvah, you are now in a world that you cannot survive in. You cannot live in that water for more than 4 minutes. There's no oxygen in the mikvah. What are you going to do there in the mikvah? You're going to hold your breath for how long could you hold your breath for? For how long? For 4 minutes, the most? There's no oxygen. You are in a matzav of tohu vavohu. You cannot exist there. You cannot exist in this matzav. And then what happens? You emerge. So what do you really do? You're going into a place where you destroy yourself. It's complete negation. You're going into a matzav of complete disintegration. Tohu vavohu. And now, renewal, you come out anew. Like a fetus in his mother's womb is in the mikvah. It's surrounded in the embryonic sac, which is filled with water. A child, a fetus is in, how in the world does that fetus survive? No one knows. One of the biggest mysteries in this world. How in the world does that baby survive in the mother's womb? And when the mother gives birth, all of a sudden now it needs oxygen to live, and the second before it didn't need oxygen. Can you explain how that works? Does anyone really know how all that works? They think they know how it works. So goes, we go one second before the baby does need oxygen. It's in the embryonic sac. There's water. Everything is shalom al Yisrael. No oxygen. It's just the umbilical cord. It survives.
Just the way the fetus doesn't eat, it doesn't breathe, because and then, it's hosting the umbilical cord.
All of a sudden,
eating and
the baby comes out, and now he has to have food, it has to have oxygen.
Well, they cut the umbilical cord.
The umbilical makes all the difference? Sure. All the difference of the oxygen? And there's, okay, it sounds maybe on paper, maybe you could, halacha l'maisa, when you really get down to it, it's beyond understanding.
Well, it's the most dangerous period.
That transition for the child, that transition is beyond. Dr. Friedman, am I saying nonsense here? He agrees, right?
In utero, the baby doesn't utilize his lungs, but the placenta, the capillaries in the placenta, transfer oxygen just like the capillaries in the lungs. So the mother provides the oxygen, delivers it to the placenta, it goes into the baby. The same thing with nutrition.
Okay, whatever it is, but a baby inside the mother's womb is in a mikvah. It's an embryonic sac with fluid, and then it comes out into a new world. When you go into the mikvah, you're going back into that original, into the original state. You're going into a matzah in the mikvah like a malach. A malach is beyond the limitations of the physical world. Does not have any of these limitations, a malach. A malach is mufka from food, from drink, from oxygen, from pain. When you go into the mikveh, you're going into a world that you cannot exist, and then you come out. You are entering into the world of a malach in preparation for Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's already four or five things. Now let me tell you some other things about a malach. Well, another reason why Yom Kippur, there's another thing that we do, and that is, this is the whole year, when we recite Shemoyne Esrei, and when we recite, especially Kiddusha, we put our feet together. Why do we put our feet? This you do every day. Why? Kadosh, like Malachim. To be Doima. And why do we stand? The Amid, the Shemona Esra. When you daven Shemona Esra, you stand. Why? A Malach is called an Oimed. V'nasati, it says, and we learned this not so long ago, I forgot where it says this. V'nasati l'cha mahalachim bein ho'oimdim ho'elim. Zachariah? I will give you mobility amongst these oimedim. Who are the oimedim? The malachim. The malachim, they are oimed. They stand, they have regal yeshara. They have regal yeshara, they have no knee, they have no elbows, they have no joints, they are oimedim. The amida, when we daven Shemona Esra, we put our feet together and we stand like a malach. Yom Kippurim is a day of davening. The whole day is a day of avodah, to daven to Hashem. An extra tefillah of ne'ilah. The whole day is a day of amida. You omer lefnei Hashem to be mispel for your life. This is a slichus kapara tahar. It's a day where you're doimer to a malach. He says so many things about a malach. It's day of amida with your feet together. It is, we wear white. We go to mikvah, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Moed, we don't eat. All of these things are elements that we do to be doing it to a malach. Now, are there more? There probably are more, but I can't even find the page where I'm stealing all this from. I'm not stealing exactly what it says, but plenty of things I am. Now, why? This is what I'm telling you now, it doesn't actually say this. Why do we want to be like a malach? This is our, we'll see if there are more things that we do to the Zemut Malach. Let's see if I can find the page quickly. Let's see. On Hashem, Sidra, it is coming up. It's going to be right here. Oh, the Hidamas La Malach. Here we go. Okay. Let's just see if there's anything else that we do. The coin, okay, he says the shame of okay, that's anyway the human being. Barefoot. Okay, that's barefoot. Malachim are barefoot. okay? We don't wear shoes. We do not wear shoes, because why? It's also to be doimer to a malach. So this is a little different, and this is like a different type of thing, and I've never heard this before. Malachim are called barefoot. Yechifei regel. We do not wear shoes to be barefoot. Also, it is an expression of an attempt to be similar to a malach. There's a medrash that says we have to have peace. We ask nechila. Why do people ask nechila from one another? Yemoichel. Why you ask nechila before Yom Kippurim? Malachim, it says in the medrash, do not experience jealousy. That part of their brain is not present. They don't have in their brain jealousy and rivalry. Okay, in the chemical components of the brain of a malach, there is no part of the brain which has any element of rivalry, jealousy, kinna amongst malachim. Malachim are always at peace with one another. Please go first. I'm not jealous of you. No kinna, no taiva. So erev Yom Kippur, are you moichel? I'm moichel you until mitzvah Yom Kippur. Then we'll fight again. I remember my 10th grade rabbi would tell us that maybe his mother told him, I don't know, is that in the pre-war Europe, there were people there in shul that they know before they had internet. What do people do the whole week? They would fight. Today, you know, you come to show, everyone is looking at the phone, they're texting, looking, you know, everyone is glued to a glass screen. Before you had a glass screen to be glued to, what did you do? You sit in the street corner and you fight. You fight. You go and you curse out each other. So that's what they did. People, they had real rivals. It was a very Levitic life. People would fight the whole day.
What did they do? They lived 500, 600, 700 years. What did they do for power?
What, they just fought with each other? I don't know. They fought with each other. They had real life was very different. We could not relate to the way they lived. We're so brainwashed in the way we
life
live today.
Was so much harder then. I mean, they had to
was it really harder
from the river?
No, there was no indoor plumbing.
Everything
they
from
didn't
from
have
scratch,
no washing machines, no dishwashers. Yeah. Could you no plastic for
no bathrooms?
But really. Was life really more difficult? Maybe it was a lot simpler. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows a lot? But any of that, one thing they did do, they had relationships amongst themselves. They had real social media, not make-believe social media. They had real social interaction, not this hocus-pocus, glass screen, Facebook, Twitter, baloney, lies and nonsense. People had real relationships. They would talk to each other, and they would fight in the real way. So what happened Yom Kippur? In shul, before Yom Kippur, it was very common in shul when we sang Tefillah Zakah, everyone came on time those days. Everyone was there very, what else are you going to do? There's no news to watch. Everyone came very early to shul and they said Tefillah Zakah before Kol Nidre. And then you would hear in shul. How many
years ago?
How many, I don't know, maybe before the war.
There were so many.
Whatever, before the war, go back before World War II, before World War I, and before all the Chorbanos. In the Shtetlach, in Poland, in Russia, I mean, Russia was never good. But in Poland, Lithuania, maybe in France, in Germany, go back, different tekufas. Different tekufas. So what would they do before shul? It was supposedly, they were saying Kol Nidre, you would hear people. Shmeru. You can imagine sitting in shul during Kol Nidre, the shul is packed, imagine 300 people.
What 300 people?
Whatever, make believe. You have a shul like shul, everyone's saying to a zaka. I'm sitting here, this guy's over there, and the whole shul's like, and I'm facing forward, and I say, I'm embarrassed, my bitter enemy, my bitter enemy over there, I fight with, and I lush nara. Shmeru, Michael. Michael? So Shmeru says, Michael. Label, Michael. Michael. They would begrudgingly, right before Kol Nidre, everyone would ask each other the field. Time out. The time out. The second they finished, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, Yiskadal V'Yiskadash. Shmeru, I can smell you from here. Go take a shower. The second davening was over, they would whip out each other's throats. But for Yom Kippur, time out. It was time out. This is the way, I'm telling you, read the stories. That's how it was in those days. This concept from us is totally gone, totally lost. Life was very rich. They would fight. Like I know someone who's a bucking muffler in Yiddish. Also, he also says this. I know two people. I know right, Farak, he told me also the same exact thing. There's no language in the world that you can curse in like Yiddish. Yiddish, of all the languages, they have the most curse words. Why? Because Jews like to fight. And when they Jewified German and they made a religion, a dialect of German called Yiddish, they stacked up on curse words to curse people in expressions. Because that's what Jews like to do. They like to fight. But Yom Kippur was time out. Okay, time out. Meichel, Shmerel, you meichel me for today? You meichel me? Yeah, okay. Peace for one day. The second Yom Kippur was over, they were at each other's throats. Why? Why do you do that? Why? We don't appreciate, but this is what they used to do. Listen, we do today, you know, children, they're holding us very babyish. But they do. Why do you do this? It says in Chazal, because Malachi Hashores don't have any jealousy. This what it's one of the needles of Malachi. We say this every single day in Davening. The Chulam Noisim Rishus. The whole mahus of a malach is a mensch. It's a good line. The mahus of a malach is to be a mensch. A balmides is to be a balmides. That is what a malach is. A balmides. One day, so therefore, we are midoyne l'malachim on Yom Kippurim. We wear white. We go to the mikvah to be tahar. To go into a world where you can't survive in the physical. Going into the mikvah means you're going into a world where you can't survive in the physical place. The mikvah is water. You can't survive in that marker. Or a malach. We don't need to survive in it. We don't eat. We dress in white. We say baruch shem. And we forgive each other for one day. For one day, it's also kedai to forgive each other. For one day, it's also kedai. Make it tonight. I'm only moichel you for today, but not tomorrow. It's also kedai. Be doine to a malach. The whole day is all about being a malach. Everywhere you turn, every little thing. The barefoot, no eating. Okay, we're knocking mikol chet. We get mechila. Malachim don't sin. Malachim don't sin. I mean, even though you'll tell me malachim sin, but let's put that aside for now. Pashtus is there are different types of malachim. Some malachim are in a madrig where they can sin, but most malachim can't sin. There's no sin, and there's peace between them. Barefoot, they stand. Okay, these we went through a whole bunch of things that we do to be devil of Allah. Why? Why are we trying so hard on Yom Kippurim? Why? Why are we trying so hard to be like Malach? Who cares? We're here, they're there. Why would you want to be a Malach for one day a year? What's going on? It's a reality show. What? They don't need to do tshuva. Because they don't sin. So by us doing teshuva, we're knocking, we call chet, we reach the madrig of a malach. Everything we're doing is we're trying to emulate the malach. We're cleansed from sin. We look like them, we dress like them, we behave like them. Everything is a malach. Why? Okay, so let's present a couple of ideas. Give you two, three ideas. Number one, Yom HaKippurim, you should not forget, is the day of Kabbalah Satorah. What happened on the very first Yom HaKippurim? Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim with the Luchos Shniyos and said, guess what, guys? Hashem forgave you for your sin, for Ched HaEgel. Solach Nichidvoyach. You worship the Egel. Hashem gave you the Torah on Zayin or Vav Sivan. Moshe came down 40 days later. He shattered the luchos. Hashem said, "Heref mimenu v'achalein." They're done. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Moshe went to Shemayim for another 40 days, and then got another 40 days, and came down with the luchos shniyos. we have the Torah. Yom HaKippurim is the real day, the Gemar of Kabbalas HaTorah. We don't deserve the Torah. It's the Feirush Gemara. Mo enosh kisis kerenu. When Moshe came to Shemayim, the Malachi HaShori said, what are you doing here on Har Sinai? Get out of here. You're coming to get the Torah? No way. No way. It's our Torah. It's not your Torah. And Moshe had a fight with them. They're right. The Malachi HaShoreis are correct. The Torah is not ours. It's not. It's theirs. It belongs in Shemayim. Hashem gave us the Torah. The Malachi HaShoreis went berserk. You gave them the Torah? You gave them Shlita over the Torah? Torah lav b'shamayim hi? They can paskin the halacha, these earthlings? What is going on? The Malachi HaShoreis, what are you doing, Hashem? You're giving mo enosh, kisis kirenu. How do you give man the Torah? You know the answer is, we're malachim, just like you. We're buddy-buddy with you guys. We're also malachim. The only way we can legitimize our achiza, our possession of the Torah, we're malachim. We're even better than you. We're malachim plus. We have all of your milas plus a lot more. And we do. We have mobility. We have other things that you don't have. But we have everything you have. We dress in white. We have no sins. We stand. We're barefoot. We forgive one another. We have peace with one another. We go to the mikveh. We say Baruch Shem just like you. We're just like you. We're even better than you. And therefore, we are entitled. It is our entitlement. For the Torah to be our entitlement, we have to be like a malach. There's a whole new element in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not just about, oh, Yom Kippur, Yom HaDin, Yom HaDin, Yom HaDin, we're all going to die, we're all in a lot of trouble. That's right. That's, you know, the Ayin Panim L'Torah. Don't forget, Yom HaKippurim is the anniversary of the Luchay Shniyos. So Luchay Shniyos, this is the day of Matan Torah. What are you doing? You're a ganof. You know, that's what we say at the very end of Ne'ilah. What is the last thing that you say? You only say it by Ne'ilah. Well, no, besides in the Shemoneh Esrei, Leman Yechdal Me'oishek Yodein. In the Tzil of Ne'ilah, you don't say this. The end of Ne'ilah, all of a sudden you sneak in a whole new Nusach that you have not said the whole Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Not on Rosh Hashanah, not on Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, not on Yom Kippur, not by Kol Nidre, and not Ma'ariv and Shachris, and Musav and Mincha. All of a sudden, you get to Ne'ilah, a whole new din. You say the very end of Shemona Esrei, the Nusach Atzvil, the Nusach, not a peel, the Nusach and the Brocha. Leman Yechdal, to desist. May Oishek Yodein. From oishek, from criminal, what's a good word? From extortion, right? Extortion. That we should not be ganovim. We should not be ganovim. You know, so everyone will tell you the pashup shot. Of course, don't cheat on your taxes. That's pashup, right? I mean, that you see the choymer hadvarim of geneva, gezela, and oishek, chomos. All the rabbanim darshan, you know, you owe someone money, you better pay the money. You borrow money, you better pay money. Don't steal a pruta. Okay, it's a horrible thing. I was always horrified. I always told the minister one time is that I used to go to a grocery store, and the grocery was it was an older person, and one day these mamish kinder, like 20-year-olds, they bought him out. They wanted to go into business. They wanted to go into these mamish. They must have been 20, 22 years old. They wanted to go into business, and they had money to throw around. They're going to buy the grocery store, and they're going to take over and make a big malchus. They're going to make a pomegranate out of it. They're going to start with the grocery store. So they bought out this person who was in business probably for 30, 40 years. He probably was very happy to retire. They probably paid him out very well to buy out his business. They took over the business. They ended up closing up the business 2 months later. They ran the business into the ground in 2 months. I come in there, I didn't even know they took over the company, and I see it looks different. And I buy my Danish, my little Danish, whatever. I think it cost 99 cents, whatever it was, the dollar. He doesn't give me a penny change. He doesn't give me the change. The other guy, the Zokane, that's been there for 30, 40 years, so I just knew him for a short time. I was to come over there. I put out a dollar. It cost 99 cents. So he gave me back a penny. He wasn't a nice guy either. This guy, the Zokane, was a very tough guy. You don't want to get on his bad side, okay? He gives me back a penny. I put down a dime. Is the penny going to make a difference in my life? No. I mean, maybe it will, okay? It's a lot of money. $5 is like a mamash, it was a gold mine for me. It still is. $5. But the penny's not going to make a dent in paying the bills. Put down a dollar, he gives me a penny. Okay? I go to the Chinese store on Avenue M all the time. He always gives me back a penny. Always. Chinese store over here. Always gives me. They jiggle with other things. Mm-hmm. What? He gives me back the penny. These 20 to 21 year old kid, he takes over the business. He doesn't give me back the penny. Don't you owe me a penny? I'm not going to ask him for the penny. I'm not embarrassed if I give you a penny. What is it? You're a ganav. You're a ganav. It cost 99 cents. It says on the sign 99 cents. Oh, penny. I have to give you back a penny. Someone who steals a penny today will steal $1 million somewhere down the line and will end up in prison. Okay, a ganav is a ganav. A ganav is a ganav. It's a neither. Leman yechdal me'oyshek yodeinu. It's a neither. And we emphasize that at Ne'ilah, the only time to make it dramatic. The importance of Geneva. Al derech drush. The Iker is the pshat. Okay, that's the Iker. But al derech drush. What is Yom Kippur all about? Here we are a whole day behaving like malachim. You know why? Because we have the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah on this day. We got nothing. We're occupiers. We got nothing. The Torah is not ours. This is not our possession. We don't deserve to have this. This is beyond us. It's over our pay grade to have in possession such a gift. We got nothing. How dare you go and open up a chumash and learn Torah and live a life of Torah? We got nothing. No, we're not. We're malachim. A whole day has gone by. With malachim, malachi hashores. Today is Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and gave us the Torah, and we have to behave like malachim. Leman yechdal me oyshek yodeinu. When you hold the sefer Torah and simchas Torah and you do a hakafa, excuse me, sir, you're a ganf. Where did you get that sefer Torah from? Where did you steal it from? Leman yechdal me oyshek yodeinu. You stole it from Shemayim. This is not yours. Mo'enosh ki siskerenu. Extortionist. This is a highway robbery here. No, excuse me. I'm a malach. I'm better than a malach. I'm walking around the bima. The malachim can't walk. Malachim, they have no mobility. I have everything the malachim have plus more. It's mine. I am entitled. It's mine. This is not leman yechdal me'oyshek yodin. That's the message of Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur ends, you have to walk away that yes, I am a malach. I have achieved a darga of being a malach so that it should not be leman yechdal me'oyshek yodin when it's my Torah. Okay, that's one idea. Running out of another idea, entirely different idea. And this idea, I think, puts in perspective Rosh Hashanah versus Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, there's one word that says it all. The whole day is about one word. Everything, every hakol holach l'magamechad. Malchus. The shatz calls out Hamelech. Right, that's all about Hamelech. Hamelech. I heard what I know. Rabbi Leizer Ginsburg. Anyone here know Rabbi Leizer Ginsburg from Mir Yeshiva? Rabbi Leizer Ginsburg. He, you know, he's like also one of the like I think he's the official Rosh Yeshiva of Or Yitzchak, right? Davening on Shabbos. They have like, you know, figureheads. And he's very animated. I heard that when he davened Shacharis in Mir Yeshiva. He davened Shacharis in the Mir, here in Flapish. And when he says HaMelech, the whole Flapish shakes. HaMelech, when he screams HaMelech, you have to hold on to your chair. He's very full of energy. HaMelech. It's all about HaMelech. There's a rule, and the rule is Ein Shnei Melochim Mishamshim B'Keser Echad. There is no such thing as two kings. There's only one Melech. It's built into the DNA of the word Melech is one king. One. Shema Yisrael. In fact, why is the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad one of the 10 Pesukim of Malchus? Because Echad is the essence of Malchus. Ein Shnei Melochim Meshamshim B'Keser Echad. There's only one king. That's Rosh Hashanah. Tivaldik. Hashem is one. What about you? What about the servants? What about the king's servants? Well, you know, there's one Melech in this country. But you know something? There are other countries out there. So when I go to this country, when I go to America, there's one Melech. When I go to Japan, there's another Melech. When I go to the UK, there's another Melech. When I go to Russia, there's another Melech. Yeah! I pledge my loyalty to all of the kings. In this country, Ein Shnei Melochim Meshamshim B'Keserecha. But I have a dual passport. I have a residency in many countries. So that means I have many kings. I serve Hashem, and I serve the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah we divide into many categories. There's the Kina, the Taiva, the Kavod, and the Alukut Azachim. Yeah, Hashem is the Melech. I'm asking, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the Melech. Here you're the Melech. In Shul you're the Melech. In this Shul, they call out, HaMelech, there's only one Melech. When Shul is over at 2:00, I leave the Shul, I go home, my wife is the king. She is the queen, or as we would say as children, she is the queen. Okay, the wife is the, and then when you go to the office, the boss is the Melech. You go to the restaurant, the food is the Melech. Okay? Yom Kippur, you doyme to a Malach. You work on yourself, the harva, to be a Malach. What is the essence of a Malach? Where in the Torah is the first time we learn about Malach? First time you find the Malach explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Torah talks about Malachim. Someone all over the place. Everybody says, Torah, wherever you blink, there's another Malach. But the first time you find Malachim is Vayera. Right? Is that correct? Vayera. Vayera Elov Hashem. Okay. So maybe it's not the first. Let's talk about Avraham Avinu. Starting with Avraham Avinu. Avraham has the Bris Milah. Vayera Elov Hashem. Avraham was a Chole. An adult, a 99-year-old man undergoing a circumcision is not a simple matter. This is a medical procedure, and this is not a simple matter. Avraham Avinu was a chole for 3 days, and it's the worst on day 3. An adult that has a bris milah by a baby after an hour, the whole thing is already over. The whole thing is. I think if everything goes well by a baby. I think after 1 or 2 hours, they say the whole thing was already finished. It's like nothing ever happened. Oh no, the mother has to come around a couple of days, whatever, just you know, to make sure. But everything really is an adult. An adult that has a bris milah, oh, that's not a similar thing. An adult, he needs 3 days. Avram is 99 years old, the bris milah is not so poshut. Hashem says, we're going to take out the sun out of its sheath. No one should bother Avraham. Avraham is very sad. He wants to entertain some guests. I'll send some malachim. Vayeroilov, Elov Hashem, Beeloni, Mamibu Yoshe, Pesach, Chonam, Yisin of Evine, Shiloisha Anoshim. Rashi, these weren't Anoshim. These were malachim in the disguise of Anoshim. They came, why three? One, to heal Avraham. One, to be mevaser, to Sarah, she will have a child. And one, to destroy Sidon. What's the obvious kasha? Three malachim? Multitask. Okay, that's the name of the game today. Multitask. Are you a good multitasker? If you go for a job, are you a good multitasker? Can you handle many assignments at the same time? No. The mahus of a malach is no multitasking. A malach has one job: laser focus. The DNA of a malach does not allow it to be distracted with other agendas. If your job is to heal Avraham, stay laser focused on your mission. You're not the one that's going to go destroy Sidon. If your job is to be mevaser to Sora Imenu, that you will have a child, you stay laser focused on that mission. Don't. Oh, I'll lend you a hand. I'll help you. I'll heal you also. A little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing. The mahus of a malach is, I only have one mission. Rosh Hashanah, we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only melech. Question is, what about us? He's the only melech. But we have, unfortunately, Elokim also as Adam Yashor, they bikshu chishbonos rabbis. Yeah, there's one melech, but you know, I have food I want to eat, I have covered I want to attain, and there's money to be made. So Hashem, you stay here, and I'll take care of what I need to take care of. When I have time for you, Hashem, I'll come back and serve you. Yom Kippur is the complement to Rosh Hashanah. We're malachim. There's only one agenda. Every single thing that you do in your life is only for Hashem. No side jobs. No moonlighting. Okay? No ulterior motives. A malach means I have laser focus agenda, one job, and nothing but one job. My one job is to serve Hashem. We desperately attempt on Yom HaKippurim to be doma to a malach. Why? Get rid of the distractions. All of our problems in this generation, like never ever before, all of our problems are distractions. It is impossible to stay focused. Every second. Oh, I gotta see what's on the phone here. I dive in 20 shuls. So I gotta go to this shul here, this shul here, this shul here. That's where we live. No one's changing anything. I'm more guilty than probably all of you. It's a big problem. We live in a world of the distractions are like never ever before. We have the whole world in front of us. Literally. It's impossible. Yom HaKippurim is the one day a year we torture ourselves. The one day of the year where we try to be like a malach. For what purpose? Focus. Keep your eye on the ball. Rosh Hashanah, there's only one Hashem. Melech. Today, and Yom HaKippurim, just like this one Hashem, we are laser focused to live a life that every movement that we do is only to Hashem, not to be distracted and veer off and focus on other things and forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mahus of a malach. And that is why we so desperately want to be a malach on Yom HaKippur. We only gave only two reasons so far, we're out of time. Either number one, because Matan Torah, it's Yom Matan Torah, and Yom Matan Torah we have to be deserving of L'man Yechdal Me'oshet Yodeinu. And number two, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, we have to be like a malach in that our focus is sharp, on the ball, only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you for coming tonight. Have a wonderful day.